You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. Ontario Jolly, 33, gets in an argument with a man on the street, Shelby, North Carolina. They go at it. Jolly eventually walks off, leaving the other man alone on the corner. Half an hour later, he returns with a gun, firing several shots at the man, hitting him in the shoulder and face. A bystander who hears the shooting pulls out her own gun and fires five shots, taking Jolly to the ground. Both men rush to the hospital.
Nancy, the bystander, chose not to reveal her name, but was legally armed and immediately went to the victim's aid. While the victim luckily did not sustain serious injuries from the shooting, Jolly was hit by all five of the bystander's shots. The DA's office has stated they will consider more serious charges for Jolly, but at the moment believe they are appropriate. The Good Samaritan will not face any charges.
The victim, said to be in good condition. Jolly, more seriously injured but stable, and facing assault with a deadly weapon charge. Jose Garcia plays soccer in a Florida adult community league, and he's known for playing rough. Referee Juan Mendoza flags Garcia for a foul, and Garcia argues over it. Mendoza hands down a yellow card, but Garcia does not back off, yelling profanities. The ref had enough and switches it to a red card, banning Garcia from the game. Garcia packs up, but before he leaves, he headbutts Mendoza, knocking the ref out cold. Garcia is arrested on battery and booked in the Collier County Jail for a real timeout. More crime and justice news after this. Now with the latest crime and justice breaking news, Crime Online's John Limley.
We begin in Vermont as three Palestinian-American college students enjoying time outdoors have been injured by gunfire. For more, we turn to Sydney Sumner with Crime Online.
In making his initial court appearance by video from behind bars, 48-year-old Jason J. Eaton entered a not guilty plea. He was then ordered detained without bail until a later hearing. According to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Justice Department is looking into whether the shooting constitutes a hate crime. Authorities in Vermont are receiving assistance in their investigation from the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Police have reported that the three men, all 20 years old and spending their Thanksgiving break in Burlington, were approached by a white man brandishing a weapon while they were walking to the residence of one of the victim's relatives. Burlington Police Chief John Murad told reporters that Eaton moved to Burlington during the summer months and that he lawfully purchased the gun. In a police affidavit, investigators said the firearm was discovered at Eaton's residence. He told the authorities he had been waiting on them, but would not identify himself. He approached the door with his hands raised.
Chief Murad said two of the victims were in stable condition while the other had, quote, much more serious injuries. Authorities in Maine have charged a caregiver for the murder of her grandmother as well as that of her romantic partner. Police say two people were discovered dead when deputies performed a welfare check at a residence in the town of Denmark. 53-year-old Zara Jones was later charged with two counts of murder. The victims were named in court records as Aramean Mayo, Jones' grandmother, and Jones' romantic partner, Michael Willette. The manner of death for the two has not been disclosed. According to police, an autopsy revealed that both were homicide victims. After being taken to Oxford County Jail, Jones is anticipated to be charged in district court. A lawyer for Derek Chauvin, the one-time Minneapolis police officer convicted of murdering George Floyd, now says that federal prison officials withheld details from Chauvin's family after the 47-year-old was stabbed behind bars. Once again, Crime Online, Sydney Sumner.
A day after his client was stabbed by another prisoner at the Federal Correctional Institution in Tucson, Arizona, the attorney Gregory M. Erickson criticized the Federal Bureau of Prisons for its lack of transparency. In recent times, the facility has been beset with security flaws and personnel shortages. Our friends with the Associated Press were informed by a source familiar with the situation that Chauvin suffered severe injuries from the stabbing. Since they weren't authorized to talk about the attack publicly, the person spoke to the AP anonymously. Meanwhile, a representative for the Minnesota Attorney General's office, Brian Evans, stated, quote, "We have heard that he is expected to survive." Erickson stated that in their attempts to get information regarding the attack from the Bureau of Prisons personnel, Chauvin's attorneys and family have run into a dead end. He claimed that because Chauvin's family has been relying solely on news reports, they have been compelled to believe that he is in stable condition. Despite their repeated requests for updates, they are said to have received no response from the prison.
Prosecutors who prevailed in obtaining a conviction for second-degree murder against Chauvin during a 2021 jury trial have voiced disappointment that he was attacked while in federal detention.
Thanks, John. Michael Dillard, 15, struggles with depression, but he comes home from a mental health treatment facility just in time for holidays with his family. He has good and bad days, but loves spending time with his older sister. After he comes home from his first day back in school, his mom drives him to his sister's and they spend an hour there. When they come home, Dillard helps his mom and unloads things from the car, then suddenly takes off running into the woods. The family immediately begins searching and call police in just 30 minutes of him running away. A snowstorm blows through the night. Temps go down to 22 below. Police search the area with a dog, turning up nothing. Weeks later, Michael's own dog finds his jacket about 300 yards from home. It was likely buried under snow during previous searches. Michael Dillard now missing nearly 6 years. If you have info on Michael Dillard, call West Virginia State Police 304-872-0800. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.